sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I'm Johnny. And I'm very ill.
What?
This is the way I talk now. We're going to watch a movie called The Relic starring Linda Hunt.
And welcome to the show. This week we will review The Relic. But I think that one's called The Relic.
Yeah.
The Relic.
Yeah, not just Relic. No,
not Relic.
The Relic.
The Relic. The only.
We watched the sequel. We need to watch the Relic. First one.
Prequel.
About The Relic.
Makes more sense if you watch both these movies
back to
together.
Back, yes.
Back to back. As always, John would give us the plot in 5 words, give our first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner, and we watch Ju-on Origins, episode 2.
The raping. Is that what it's called?
The raping,
it's
yeah.
Pretty hardcore.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. This is our, pretty much had a follow-up to how the first episode ended with the two friends leading... the new girl to the house where there's like a male student that rapes them, which was actually quite disturbing. It's probably the most disturbing thing that's happened so far in this.
Because it is the two female friends, because she's new to the school, right?
Yeah.
And the two female friends go to this house and they're getting off on the idea that this guy is raping this girl, and one of them's the girlfriend of the guy, I think, because they're gonna have sex later,
like,
and then
yeah, I think they just like that they're punishing her in some way, or you know.
I think there's a quick resolve to everything that happened in this episode, and I still do not understand why they did that.
Right.
I don't get...
Because they're cruel and they're callous. They have no...
I mean, that's so hardcore, though. So they're going to pin down this woman and rape her in an abandoned house? Like, that's...
The new girl? Yeah.
It's just insane. It's kind of intense.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was kind of like...
Shock value sort of thing.
Yeah. It was very... It was very unsettling. And... The only little caveat was like, oh, okay, these three rapers are going to get their comeuppance because we know that there's something in the house, right? Which kind of didn't happen that way at all, because it seems like, unfortunately, the girl being raped is the one that's possessed.
Yes.
By the woman in the house.
Correct. Yeah.
And
she goes and hides, kind of like in Ju-on the movie. In the closet, mm-hmm. where there is an attic, there's like a way to get to the attic. Like, because also
there's like a way to see up into the attic, right? Because it's an old house, I'm assuming. It's
that's the way the original movie is too. You can see mm-hmm. up in the attic and see there's a woman that hung herself.
Mm-hmm. Spoiler, but yeah.
Yeah.
And then she immediately changes and begins to have sex with her raper, mm-hmm. the male raper. So, which kicks off a sort of like relationship, blackmail.
Yeah, but
kind of like
at the same exact time, one of the girls who's like kind of weird and aloof also follows the sound of the cat in the house for whatever reason and disappears forever.
She becomes a cat or something. No, well, she shows up later, right, at the nightclub.
I mean, it was like the ghost of a version of her.
Yes, yeah. She like leads her friend away at a nightclub, and they haven't followed. And there's kind of where that story has ended so far. Because there's a lot of stories in these, and they're really hard to follow.
A lot.
We're going to do our best.
So, and I also, I think they are mixing the American version of Ju-on and then the original Japanese version together with these stories is what I'm finally gathering. Because the original Japanese version does have this, but then that's not what the focal point of the movie is. It's just this curse that never goes away.
I kind of feel like this origin. So the show I noticed is called Ju-on Origins.
Oh.
Not just origin, right?
So it's not one gin, it's several gins.
Several gins.
It's a crossover.
Several. Yeah. The S implies so much here, which makes so much more sense. Why we're getting, I don't know, like at least two or three different storylines that start and stop quite a bit and are hard or jumping around in time.
I sure hope. And this, I mean, I'm hoping like this stops after this episode. I don't know for a fact because I haven't seen any of the other ones yet, right? But definitely have.
No, you're not three episodes ahead or whatever.
Yeah, I get it. Some sort of fever thing I did by accident.
What did you think of this episode two, from what you remember? There's quite a few other things that happen, but the gist is, I think, is just the Kiyomi's origin, which is the girl that got raped, and how, you know, she runs off with that guy, and then, you know,
life goes on. They have a kid, and then the guy is still beating her, so there's no happy ending, but she just takes it, and maybe that's the way.
That might happen on a different episode. Oh. But what you're describing, but
maybe, yeah.
I think that the last episode ends on the fact that the actress's fiance dies, and she finds out that the mom is like a psychic or something. She can connect.
Oh, that's right.
To the spiritual world or something.
Yeah, he dies mysteriously, right? I mean, well, it's the...
Well,
the,
we know. Yeah.
The lady in the house followed him.
Yes. Yeah. What'd you think of the episode two?
Yeah, it was pretty okay. I mean, I was just kind of confused about what was going on again. Which might be a theme, I think. It seems intentional. I don't know.
I kind of feel like... like one of the selling points for the show for us was the fact that they were half hour.
Yeah. It is a convoluted half hour.
I feel like this is a 3-hour movie, to be honest, that we could have easily, that was probably chopped up to put on Netflix. Because they kind of don't have any sort of convention to like episode-wise, you know, like how you have a beginning, middle, ends of episodes. Because I kind of feel like they randomly just end.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like been one of the hardest things to follow on top of like...
It's not, but the show's not bad. I don't know. It's just confusing.
No.
But it's not bad.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's not really like... Unless, since this is a Japanese-made series, maybe we're just not accustomed to how they present TV or how they... I'll say it's our fault. We'll take the L on this that we're not accustomed to.
I mean, there's only one season.
So. I know, I'll speak for myself. Yeah, there was only one season. Yeah, that's
probably
true.
Saying something.
Good point. Yeah. But overall, like, aesthetically, I thought it was...
You know what? I'm going to take that back because people have made mistakes. Because there is no season two of Blood Ride. So...
Yeah, no. It's a condition of Netflix. Yeah, like I think I think the episodes are really well shot. I think that, you know, the acting's pretty good. I'm interested in the storyline about the fiance's husband died, that actress. but we kind of seem to be getting less and less of it.
Yeah.
Now we're focusing on this cursed woman who was raped, or child or whatever, teenager who was raped. And it feels like Origins is appropriate because it's kind of like a series of titles, I guess.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
And they also are...
If they're going to continue to just introduce a bunch of stories and then it's supposed to become like the last couple episodes, like a, oh, because they all connect. Like a,
we're getting a
horror version of
Clue. I don't want to give the show that much credit, but this is like the Carfax version of the who owned the house, who's been in the house and shit. But you know, home ownership. I wouldn't know what that was called, but yeah, not bad, not bad, fun. There's just a nice moments in it.
Do you think the bad guy is gonna end up being the HOA? they were behind this the whole time.
Well, they're a ripoff anyways, man. I'll cut the grass. I'll rake my own leaves. It's fine. I don't need HOA.
Yeah, well, that's episode 2 of Joan Origins.
It's Origins. With a Z. Alrighty. Not much else to say, we think.
No, because it's hard to follow. it's hard to explain things like...
Yeah. I mean, it's not like we decided to do 2 episodes in 1 day.
No,
so
not at all.
So it's more confusing to us about what happened in each individual episode. Or it's not like I have a Wikipedia page pulled up with the plot descriptions that I'm reading off of as my notes for the show.
Filled with names we are painfully not accustomed
definitely not
to.
Gonna, definitely not going to attempt to pronounce. Because we would, you know, we'd get canceled.
Rightfully so, yeah.
Rightfully so. okay. Good so far? We're still on this?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. Because you've watched like all of them already, right? So. Yeah, I'll finish it. I've seen them all already. Okay. Little inside joke.
What's going on?
Are you ready for the main review?
Are we still in TV corner? Because I'm just spinning around in circles trying to figure out where I'm at every time I watch one of the episodes. So you got to pull me out because I'm lost.
Yeah. Yeah. Just try to put your feet down, stop the seat.
Again, it's not like the show's bad. It's just like, what?
Yeah, there's just it's a little different, I think.
It's like if you
traditional TV.
You're watching the episode and if you sneeze, you're gonna be lost.
Something else is happening. There's a whole new set of family.
What?
Being introduced.
It's 1990 something now, or what year is it?
It's not even present day yet. It's the past. You know, I forgot to mention, I do like the fact that they're having all these news reports and it's always like some awful thing going on, which I think is presented in a way that insinuates that there's like something in the environment or in the air that is affecting the people of Japan.
The joke
like
is
the curse or something.
The joke is Roland was a big fan of the Batman.
I liked it. Overcooked movie though. A little overcooked at the end. A little too long and overcooked.
And we get a great performance by Nicolas Cage. I mean Tommy Wiseau. I mean Colin Farrell as the Penguin.
Yeah, I don't know why people decided to be like, oh, let's make a whole TV show about one character.
The most reflected 1960s version of the character we can have. He is so close to it. He might as well just be going.
Yeah. Great movie though. Robert Pattinson is a great Batman. There, I said it. Batman of our generation.
Yeah, I like him. Batman. He's great.
Yeah. Appropriate.
Like if all these movies came out before the Batman, I feel like it would be between him and Jacob Elordi.
Yeah, Jacob Elordi is like 100 feet tall, so he's more of a Superman, is what people speculate.
Okay. Yeah. Plastic Man? Mr. Gold?
Wonder Man? No. Who's that?
I don't know who that is.
I don't know. Nobody knows who that is.
Never heard of her.
Never heard of her. Let's quickly move on before John gets canceled or in trouble.
Fired.
Yeah. Alrighty. Let's move over to our main review of Relic, not the Linda Hamilton movie. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary. Rolando, drum roll, please. Sure, not the Linda Hamilton movie, but the Linda Hunt movie. So I'll just read you a description of what we're watching. It's a homicide detective and an anthropologist. Classic. Try to destroy a South American lizard-like god who is on a people-eating rampage in Chicago Museum.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, that's the wrong
movie.
More
than 5 words.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, wrong movie. We're reviewing Relic.
You're talking about The Relic.
The Relic. Not this.
The Relic,
no,
yeah.
This Relic ain't shit.
Not
it's
Relic.
Not The Relic. All right. So, in my fever dream... watching this. This is these are what I came for. The Relic, not The Relic, for Relic. Family home has terrible mold.
Yeah, that's accurate.
That's the whole movie, right?
That's the whole movie. Get it out. Get it checked out, folks. Check your homes for mold.
Especially if you're white, you better check that shit out.
Don't take it to chance. Any kind of black spots is not good. Water damage is a horrible thing.
I mean,
sorry,
I
go
mean,
ahead,
wait, what are they trying to say? So the grandfather died and then the house goes to shit? What is this? What is this gender role thing they're trying to push on us?
Cancel this movie.
For Relic, negligent family refuses home nurse. Well, like something could have been fixed here. I mean, if they... And for Relic, normal Caucasian family hanging out.
I imagine this is most of our white friends' is Christmas.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, right? This makes sense.
So, yeah. Okay. Relic came out in 2020. It's a movie I actually got great reviews. Always kind of been on the radar to review for the show, but I think it's finally on Shudder.
Yep.
And as of this recording, so...
Fun story. As I was watching this, because I I'm still kind of ill, but I was terribly ill with something that's not contagious, or else Rolando would also have this virus, but it was not a virus. I got terribly ill from a work-related thing. And as I was watching this, I was like, man, am I just like fucked up right now?
Well, I mean, to be fair, you're always on some sort of substance.
Yeah, it's true. It's true, but I wasn't on anything. That's what made it strange. I was like, oh my God, what is going on?
Wow.
And I'm watching this, I'm like, am I tripping or did I already watch this and I'm just accidentally rewatching it? I think I've seen this movie before. And as it went on, I was like, wait a second, does this happen at the end? Holy fuck, I've seen this movie.
Whoa.
But I have a
big plot twist.
Yeah, I have a better appreciation here for it now. But I was like, what? I think because I was in a
yes.
Emily Mortimer kick for a little while.
Mm-hmm. It's a good kick. Great actress.
Oh, she's amazing. Name your favorite Emily Mortimer movie.
It's without looking at. Wasn't she in?
Was she in the what was those books about the Vatican? The Da Vinci Code? Was she in that?
No, I don't think so. Well, Emily Mortimer. What was she in?
We're big fans. Clearly, she was in Lars and the Real Girl, right?
Sure.
Her parage at them segment was good. Formula 51 classic, right? Remember Sam Jackson's wearing a kilt the entire time?
This is amazing. You're just saying all this off the top of your head.
Scream 3, of course.
We're big screamers. Oh, yeah, she is in Scream 3.
Big screamers.
That's we are. Total screamers.
Notting Hill, classic.
I was going to say Notting Hill. I was also going to say Match Point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and The Ghost in the Darkness.
I remember her Match.
That's right. It was like one female character in the entire movie, I think.
It's her?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, obviously, we're big fans. The Saint, she was a woman on the plane. Everybody remembers that.
Was she in... Okay, now I'm cheating. Was she in... What was she in?
I don't know. I don't know what...
I
don't know what put me on a kick to watch a bunch of her stuff at one point. Oh, well, Trans-Siberian, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it was probably Lars and the Real Girl, to be honest. Because I'm a sucker for movies like that.
I mean, yeah, I've seen that. Oh, Lovely and Amazing. That I have seen. She's really good in that. Love's Labor's Lost. I've seen that.
Oh, and Relic. I've seen that.
Was she in Relic?
Apparently,
shut up.
Apparently more than once. As I was watching.
She's the connection, the loose connection to all of these movies. No.
Yeah,
no. She isn't the actress I thought she was. Does that make sense?
Like, I feel like she is, though, right? But I don't know what it was that I watched something she's in a bunch of times, several times, and I just can't pinpoint it.
Yeah. That actually tracks.
Well,
to be fair, there's a lot of like British brunette actresses that are kind of all the same. So
I guess so.
Either way, she was terrific in it. But what did you think of now that you've seen it twice, what did you think of Relic?
Or perhaps several times, I'm not sure. No, I liked it. The horror aspects of this, I kind of like that there's like a interesting sort of twist resolve at the end with what the horror is about this, which is actually truthfully very scary, but not in like a jump scary way, right? Oh man, you ready for this? I remember what she's been in that I've seen several times, and it is pretty fucking embarrassing that this is why I know her so well. The Pink Panther, the Steve Martin ones with Jean Reno. Anyway.
How dare you, John?
Yep, that's where I got my kick. I was like, yeah, this chick's awesome. So I was like watching all her stuff.
Peter Sellers is turning in his grave. How dare you?
Yeah, to be comical. Nah, I'm just kidding. Because it's a funny thing for him to jokes. Do. Yeah. He faked his own death like 40 years.
And he remade the Pink Panther. It's the worst version.
He was like, take off his mask with Steve Martin the whole time. I would like to buy a hamburger. You know? Perfect French accent.
My opinion on this was fabulous movie.
Yeah, it was
absolutely
great.
Fabulous. I really enjoyed it. I love the idea that the horror in the beginning is that the grandmother has a sort of form of dementia, and that, you know,
and there's some,
it's all kind of pointing that direction, but yeah, of course there's always something a little more supernatural behind it.
It almost feels
black-ish mold looking stuff that kind of keeps appearing.
Also a person. There's like something in the back.
Also a person.
At the very beginning of her alone, you look in the background and there's something standing up as she As the woman is, the older woman is confused and looking away.
So we kind of are led to believe that the grandmother is probably haunted, and the mother with the daughter are believing it's just like, oh, she's old, she's sick, and, you know, trying to take care of her, because I think she had disappeared for a good while and reappeared randomly. So there's always like this thing of what is it that's going on in the house. And I think they did a really good job of showing the pains of dealing with a sick relative, or, yes, you know, grandmother, parents. I think they did a really good job with that, while also trying to, while nicely incorporating the sort of other angle of it, like the horror side of it, like there's something more going on. And I thought there was really nice, like the setting and the aesthetic, the way it was shot, the style, I thought was pretty, also kind of added to the mood of the piece as well.
And also just so, pretty much every other frame sort of included something that would be symptomatic of people with Alzheimer's. So my grandmother, before she passed away, had,
yep,
Alzheimer's. And mm-hmm, yeah, there's like camera tricks and movements and like, product, you know, art department did a couple things to, you know, really confuse what was going
they
on.
They do. The actress in this that plays the grandmother did a really good job of showing confusion, normalness, you know, that sort of like, maybe she's like being possessed by something more, you know, and she had nice,
do you think it was
duality,
one of the agents?
To each role.
Right. Cause as soon as agents, she dies, she's probably just going to go back to Zion, right? Before Neo and her argue about what the future of Zion's going to be.
Is that who this is? Robin Niven?
Yeah, she's one of the council people for Zion. I was like, oh, I know
her. Yeah, you're right. 100%. Yeah. I see. I'm looking at her IMDb now. She was excellent, actually. And this was written and directed by Natalia Erica James. And you can tell that this is definitely something like she probably experienced.
Labor of love,
probably a
right?
sick relative. Yeah. This is probably something she dealt with. And she's, because it feels very
personal, right?
True and yeah, personal. Yeah, exactly. Very genuine and authentic. And actually, I think that my only criticism is when the kind of like spooky stuff happens and it's kind of like undefined a little bit. Like it's not really, there's no real like rules that are set about what it can and cannot do.
Oh,
I had a hard time. I had a really hard time sort of understanding it's like, what it is, what it actually is going on. And I understand that it's supposed to be ambiguous and a metaphor. It's a big, big metaphor for stuff.
Oh no, I feel like I have a definitive answer, but we'll get into that later. But yeah, I think I'm going to fucking blow your mind with, no, I'm just kidding.
So, and yeah, I really liked, well, I guess it's like three actresses, right? It's kind of like
three actresses. That is really the entire thing, yeah.
Grandmother, mother, and
until they go to the hospital, there is no other actor.
Sister. Yeah.
Oh, well, except for this.
They all did
this,
a really good
there's
job.
There's this like decrepit looking figure that looks like a dead person. So it is very reminiscent of that movie that we reviewed recently where the fairy lady convinced that girl to eat that candy and
yeah, she became a shit out of bird or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It almost feels like that movie wanted to be this movie. And it did not work out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's definitely a little bit more authenticity and personal stakes added to the story than in my mother's skin.
Yes. Because we still get some sort of shed out in the middle of nowhere, right? With
it's an old house.
Old house.
Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I call it a shed. And there is cabin. Some sort it's of cabin. Dead thing, right?
They used the house that they're living in has they before the cabin was abandoned, they took pieces of the houses like windows and stuff like that to use it for the current house that the grandmother is living in.
Correct, yeah. Which I kind of like that symbolism as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
And then she when the way she carves the candles and stuff, I think is very interesting also. I think that is also something that people with dementia tend to do when they work on their normal projects and then they keep turning into something else because they forget what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. There were a lot of instances of that as well.
Oh, you know who I thought had like a fucking there's one actor like there. Okay, there are two other guys. I forgot about this. The neighbors, that dude and his son, that guy and his son, the son with the special needs. Mm-hmm. That actor, the special needs actor kid, was fucking great. I don't know. There was something very. You could see all the other actors making choices and stuff like that, which I appreciate. That was good. There's something very natural about that other guy. You know, when you find out later that he got locked up in a cupboard because he was playing hide and seek with the grandmother or the mom, and then she forgot that she was doing that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what clued me in as to what the rules of this monster thing are, because that character had no idea about this horror element of what was going on. I don't know how you feel about that, but yeah, but that was pretty cool. I like how he smokes a little bit of weed with the daughter, that chick from Neon Demon, right? Neon Demon? Yeah. And she's like, hey man, it's cold, it's like raining, do you want to come inside? And he's like, nah dog. He just like walk into the forest, hi. Like, I don't know, he's like better than the shit going on in there, sorry.
Yeah, I'll take my chances.
Yeah, the spooky exactly. Forest. Yeah, the smartest character in the movie.
Also thought the pace was also really good, because it's like kind of a slow burn type of thing. It wasn't like, which kind of made it feel unique and like very independent from a studio movie, where I'm assuming most studio movies are like something needs to happen every 15 minutes or the audience will be bored.
Yeah.
So this movie is definitely more slow burned paced, and I think it adds to the tension of the overall movie.
And also, this is how you portray confusion, Ju-on Origins. I'm just kidding. Stick to one story.
So really good. Do you have any other thoughts or notes about it before we go into spoilers?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I guess we should mention that the mother, grandmother, starts to develop some sort of black rash or... Oh, you know what? We glossed over the fact that the first... I think I clocked it in at like 30-something minutes. The grandmother is missing. She's only in the first 5 minutes and then is missing for... the first act of the movie.
Right.
They can't find her, and then she randomly shows up in the house again. No, what, is it the house? Or is she in the forest?
No, they find her in the house, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, which I'm sure is fucking scary.
Yeah.
Because,
and then, like, you have a relative who doesn't, you're not sure how they're gonna behave,
which
you know what I mean, like
she started locking all the doors or not really. I don't know, I was confused as to why they just bothered only going through the front door when they went over to the grandmother mother's house slash mother, right? Because it's like with the grandmother, the mother, and the daughter, instead of going around the back, because grandma keeps leaving doors open and she's like, that's where that thing keeps coming in, She keeps saying weird things like that.
Right, yeah.
But they have the daughter going through the doggy door. I'm like, it's real easy to break into this house.
True fact.
There's no dog in this.
Thankfully, no dog died in making this movie. No, I was going to say, I never left my... I always left all my doors unlocked where I lived.
Yeah.
Is that something you did too?
No.
Or you locked your doors. That makes sense. I didn't. I didn't lock my doors.
I like obsessively lock my doors here too.
Oh yeah, here.
But I know people that live in like Glendale or Burbank, and they're like, "Yeah, I rarely lock my doors." I'm like, "Cool. I'm not gonna do that." They're like, "Yeah, it's just like I don't have anything they can steal," and I'm like, "Are you sure about that?" Okay.
They'll find it.
They could also just stay at your apartment and/or house until you get back too. I don't know if that ever crossed your mind. But okay.
Or, you know, go to the. Maybe they're not housebroken and they take a big shit in the middle of your living room. That's true. And then who's dealing with the shit? You are.
Emily Mortimer, yeah. I was kidding.
Emily Mortimer. It all comes back to Emily Mortimer.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I think we can go into spoilers if you want. Yeah, the what's her name goes through the doggy door. That's the most important thing. Cool.
No, the most important thing is there's no dog.
There's no dog.
That's the most important. Alrighty, let's move over to the spoilers.
Wait! No, 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 stop, stop, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers.
So, I wanted to... I felt like the whole crux of the movie is like what's really going on and stuff. And I think they portrayed the hints of it is that it's something to do with
dementia,
the cabin.
Well,
the cabin and something happened there, right? Explain to me.
I don't know if that's where like the grandfather slash husband of the grandmother died, or I think because her mental health's rapidly deteriorated after he passed away, right? And she's like feeling like maybe she's not loved anymore because, you know, you get older and then you tend to become alone again because your children and grandchildren have already moved on and they're living their lives. And this is the mother and daughter coming over to help, and the mother is having her frustrations, and of course the granddaughter is trying to be the good person. But as her mental health deteriorates, you know, confused people tend to become the most angry. And I think going back to this cabin where it had, I mean, the old house, which was the original home where she last felt love or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I think it is all just dementia. And I think the Alzheimer's and all that is already starting to affect the mother, which you get a hint of at the very end, and the daughter, I think, is also getting early onset.
Yeah, I don't want to get too far ahead to the very ending, but yeah, I like that the when they mentioned that the part of the house, this haunted house, was like incorporated into this house. I thought that was a nice play on, you know, that whatever is haunting is there. Has been brought to this new house.
Yeah.
Or it's kind of like like it's handed down, you know, like metaphorically.
Yeah.
Handed down and stuff like that.
I don't think it was haunted. I think it's just, this is a disease that the family's going to have to deal with their entire, like, it's just something that's going to, it's hereditary, right? It's just going to keep being passed on. And I think the reason the grandmother's health started really deteriorating after her husband's death is because she's not back at the house that she is familiar with.
Yeah, which is why she kept trying to, like, at some point the daughter gets like stuck in the old house. Like she like crawls her way into the old house or whatever. And so like it's just like two houses thing, kind of, it's portrayed as like two houses,
but they're still connected.
Like there's they're still connected. There's like some stuff in the walls and stuff. She's like stuck in the walls of the newer house, and the older house, she's like trying to escape it.
That's where
it keeps changing.
I think it's her. It's the idea of her trying to fight and not have the same disease, but she is clearly showing symptoms of already having onset Alzheimer's.
Right.
Is what that all was in my head.
So the house could be like a metaphor for her mind, her dementia, her mind slipping away.
All of their minds, collectively. Like I think they try to focus on the grandmother because that is what they can see the true horror in front of their faces, but they're already involved. And I think something that happens at the very end suggests that you just got to accept this and you got to help each other and love each other, as opposed to being afraid, because then it'll be too late.
Yeah, and probably like the very ending is like, it's like ambitious and it's like very like ambiguous as well. And I thought that, but I think they laid out pretty clearly the last like shots of this movie is beautifully constructed, beautifully arranged, in that the grandmother forms that black whatever, and she kind of like gives into it or whatever, and she turns into like a shell of herself.
I was gonna say, like, she becomes a husk of her former self, so she's no longer that lady. She's just a confused, empty sort of black void of who she used to be.
Yes. And Emily Mortimer finally, I think Emily Mortimer was throughout the, one thing we haven't discussed is that she's not quite, she wants to take care of her mom, but she doesn't like know how to deal with it in a way. But in this final scene, it's kind of feels like she's finally, okay, I'm going to take care of her. This is something that I have to do.
Yeah.
Or accepts her fate.
It almost feels like she was resentful that she had to do it.
Right.
Until she started seeing all the notes, where like there are notes being left everywhere that make it seem like, oh, some creepy shit's happening. And then when you finally see the rest of the notes towards the end, which is like, oh, is this spooky writing? But the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, man, that's just fucking sad. She's trying to remember things, and ultimately this old lady feels alone and like nobody loves her anymore. And, you know, she's trying to remember things, and, you know, like she looks at her daughter and doesn't remember who she is. And she's like, oh yeah, beautiful eyes, you remind me of somebody. And she doesn't realize it's herself.
I think that also they kind of also dig a little bit into their past, meaning like the Emily Mortimer, the grandmother was a little hard on Emily Mortimer. I think, you know, there was something about the piano, and then her never really like, becoming particularly good at it, and she says it's because I couldn't move my fingers or something like that. And there is a scene where the grandmother does become more cognitive, I think, you know, more herself, and she kind of is a little stern and tough, which probably kind of is Emily Mortimer's kind of resentment is kind of present there. It's not completely like obvious, but I feel like it's present in her character until the end, and she kind of finally just accepts her mother. And beautifully, last shot again, where this husk of a woman is laying on one side of the bed, Emily Mortimer's laying in the middle, the daughter lays at the end, only to reveal that they're all laying together holding each other, and only to reveal that the daughter sees the little black mold spot on her back, which is
the beginning of her journey having the same disease,
meaning that her fate is probably still too, just like so many of ours with genetics, about how we pick up, you know, diseases from our parents. So, you know, dementia, high blood pressure, you know,
diabetes,
stuff like that is kind of passed on to us. And it just passed on to her, and we can assume that that fate could also be passed on to the daughter too. So,
no, I think in my opinion,
haunting ending.
It's solidified that she already has it.
Yeah.
But I think that all three women already have this, and there is no turning back.
Very, very, yeah, very, very beautiful, haunting last shots.
So do the right thing and get a live-in nurse, because...
get a live-in nurse. Yeah. preferably a sassy Latino, gay Latino man.
Yes. Would be nice. Yeah. And that's how this movie ends. There's no like final jump scare or anything like that. It's just that. I mean, I think it's trying to show the true horrors of these things, but I think it's like trying to show the acceptance of these horrors, make you understand it's not a horrific thing. It's just a part of life.
It's a scary thing, but it's a part of life thing where, you know, everybody dies, right? Yeah. So we have to kind of be, I think we all know that as a species, so we still resound in that fact. So we try to, you know, deal with it the best we can and don't be scared of it. As scary as that is when we lose people we love, so.
Yep.
All right. Heavy stuff. Yeah, very good, though. I could see why it was very popular and was in a lot of, you know, top 10 horror movies of that year, so definitely worth the watch. Alrighty, do you have any other thoughts before you rate it?
No, I was just I was like, Linda Hunt never made an appearance and I was confused.
Confused. The great grandmother Linda Hunt.
Too tall.
It's too tall. Yeah.
Alright.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw your cat in the back.
Yeah, she's definitely trying to find the perfect place to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, she's trying to give her rating right now, which is unfair.
It's a big dump. Damn, Annie. Just a hard to please cat. Alrighty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give?
Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm gonna give Relic 8 sexy spooky bones. Feels quite inappropriate calling them sexy spooky bones.
A little black spooky
mold.
Voldemort's. Yeah. Do you remember that abortioned Voldemort? Did you see the Harry Potter movies, John?
Yes, I did. Yeah, that's it. Kind of did look similar. Yeah.
It's very similar to the aborted Voldemort in that white dream sequence or some shit. I still can't believe something like that made it to mainstream movies. Anyways, and it's recently popped back up, that meme, because they put like a little bit of I saw a meme where they have that shot and then they put a Trump hat or whatever on it, and they're like, MAGA supporters upset about 20 seconds of seeing Taylor Swift at the football game. It's pretty funny. I will give it a 9. I really liked it. Really liked it. There's a lot to glean from this, and it's very serious in its subject matter, but necessary. And I think that it's a very personal story, which I think are always the best. So I will give it 9 sexy spooky bones out of 10.
And Annie gives it 1 dump. Thank you, Annie.
1 dump. I think she got out, so I'm assuming she did the business. All right, guys, girls, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.